Hello, and welcome to the bonus content of the Spiritually Armored podcast. I am David Hopkins, and today I will be talking about the evidence that we have that God exists. I'm sure many of you have heard the scientific method at least once. This method, used by various individuals who studied the natural sciences, consists of five steps, which are make an observation, ask a question, form a hypothesis, test that hypothesis, and form a theory. However, when it comes to understanding the origins of the universe, the scientific method cannot effectively be applied. After all, we cannot test a hypothesis regarding the universe's origin, as we have no way to create a universe. While the scientific method is useful, it is not always needed to explain something. Sometimes an explanation can be derived from logic, research, and reasoning. An old family friend has a saying that goes, "If you see a turtle on a fence post, you know it didn't get there by himself." Well, just a little research on the physical capabilities of turtles would inform one that they cannot jump high and aren't the most effective climbers. So if you did see a turtle on a fence post, you could easily reason that it did not accomplish that task by himself. Now with this in mind, I'm going to discuss the evidence that we have today that God exists. For some, it is hard to believe that God exists, as we do not have the typical scientific evidence that he exists. We cannot hear, see, or feel him in the typical ways. However, despite this, there is strong evidence that he exists, as he has left his fingerprints throughout creation and in the Bible. Kyle Butt, who has earned his master's in apologetics and has served in the biblical department at Apologetics Press for 20 years, gave a lesson in which he highlighted six scientific facts that can be found in the Bible. I won't go through all of these, but I will highlight three. The first point that I want to highlight is sanitation. Kyle noted that in 1846, the city of London experienced an epidemic of cholera. This disease is caused by ingesting food or water that has been contaminated, and the problem occurred from the way that people disposed of sewage. During this time, people would dump raw sewage into the streets, and although we know now that this practice is highly unsanitary, that information is not new. Kyle highlighted that Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 13, makes note of how sewage was supposed to be disposed of. Again, that is Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 12 through 13. And it reads, "Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment, and when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuse." The second point I want to highlight is the understanding of germs. Kyle noted that in 1847, roughly 18% of women died in child labor. He highlighted that during this time, the practice of washing one's hands after handling a corpse was not implemented. However, when doctors did begin to start washing their hands, the death toll of women in labor plummeted to 2%. Kyle then highlighted that the Bible talks about germs and how one is to purify himself in Numbers chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. Again, that is Numbers chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. And it reads, "He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the third day, and on the seventh day, then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not be clean." The third point that I want to highlight is shipbuilding. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 15. Again, that is Genesis chapter 6, verse 15, where Noah was getting instructions on how to build the ark. And it reads, "And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Kyle noted that this ratio was 30 by 5 by 3, length by width by height. This is the same ratio that was used by shipbuilders in World War II to build cargo ships. Kyle noted that these shipbuilders had generations of knowledge to build ships, whereas Noah did not. Now, while the greatest piece of evidence that we have of God's existence is the Bible, there are some additional logical arguments that can be used when it comes to proving God's existence. Brad Harab, a writer for the website Church of Christ Articles, highlighted two arguments that I want to cover today. These arguments serve to prove the existence of God. They are the cosmological argument and the teleological argument. For the cosmological argument, Harib said that many people will agree that the universe does exist, with all the scientific evidence that can easily be found. Harib noted that there are three options that one typically derives from this fact. One being the universe is eternal, two being it created itself from nothing, or three, it was created. He noted that scientists can agree that the universe is not eternal, as its expansion indicates it had a beginning, something that is even supported by evolutionist Robert Jastrow. Additionally, the idea that the universe created itself from nothing is widely absurd. It is a well-known reality that nothing produces nothing. These truths leave only one possibility. The universe was created. Anyone can recognize that something now exists. As such, it must follow that something has existed forever. Harib noted that the theist holds to the view that adequate evidence is available to prove conclusively that God exists. However, when we use the word prove, we do not mean to suggest that God's existence can be demonstrated scientifically, in the same fashion that one might prove that a sack of potatoes weighs 10 pounds, or that a human heart has four distinct chambers within it. Such matters as the weight of a sack of vegetables or the divisions within a muscle are matters that may be verified empirically using the five senses. And while empirical evidence often is quite useful in establishing the validity of a case, it is not the only way of arriving at that proof. For the teleological argument, Harib said that one should consider the design of the earth. How can chance explain the Earth's position in the following: the right type of galaxy, the right location within that galaxy, the odds of being near the right sun, being the right distance from the sun, having the right rotation rate and proper tilt, possessing enough water, and having the right atmospheric conditions to sustain life? For instance, in 1981, Science Digest reported that the Earth moves in its orbit around the sun, departing from a straight line by only 1/9 of an inch every 18 miles. If it departed by 1/8 of an inch, we would come so close to the sun that we would be incinerated. If it departed by 1/10 of an inch, we would find ourselves so far from the sun that we would all freeze to death. An honest evaluation of the universe or the human body quickly reveals the design, and design demands a designer. Despite there not being a way for us to see, hear, or feel God in the ways we commonly think of, there is still evidence that he exists. We can hear him by reading the scriptures, see his handiwork in creation, and feel the comfort of him when we obey the gospel. I thank you for listening to this bonus episode of the Spiritually Armored Podcast. If you have any questions or comments for this bonus content, please reach out to us at armoredspiritually@gmail.com. Again, that is armoredspiritually@gmail.com. Please be sure to follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Spiritually Armored. Thank you so much for listening, and have a blessed day.